We do not claim any rights to any audio clips taken from other media used in our podcast.
These belong to the studios and creators that made the characters and stories portrayed in the clip, and we have only used these clips for entertainment and reference purposes.
Hey there, everyone. This is Rebecca. I'm the mom.
And I'm her daughter, Hannibal. Oh, I sang it a little bit.
You did.
Ooh, that was interesting. Weird. I liked it.
My tummy's digesting is kind of funny, so I feel like I should apologize to everybody to begin with.
Yeah, my tummy digests a little dinner a little bit weird, too.
Right? So I made the spaghetti bake for dinner tonight. It was just kind of everything thrown together.
It was really tasty.
It was so tasty, but man.
But then my tummy was like, whoa, bro.
I might have added a little too much garlic.
No such thing.
My tummy might be arguing with that right now.
Mine might have also argued, but my taste buds disagree. It was delicious.
Taste buds. It was like, yeah, baby.
Garlic.
Stomach's like going, too much garlic.
Anyway, guys, welcome back to the Peach Pit.
So Hannibal and I have been sitting here for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Avoiding getting started.
Not necessarily avoiding. We just keep getting on other subjects and forgetting what we're supposed
to
be doing.
Barely seen each other. Barely seen each other for the last week.
It's been a little bit of a busy last week.
Oh my goodness. Sakes. Yes.
Yeah. And it's going to continue being a busy week.
So we're not really avoiding it. We've just been so busy, but we kind of are also like.
It's a little bit of an odd episode.
Yeah.
It's this weird level of I'm not sure if throughout it I was yelling at the TV a lot.
Oh my gosh. It. Okay, so I gotta start off by telling everybody about that because that was hilarious. We watched this episode together a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And because we have to watch on the DVDs and we only have one DVD of everything, so we watched together.
Which is really fun.
It's actually really, I like it.
I like it because then it's like I feel like I get to share my immediate reactions with you.
Oh my gosh, and I love your immediate reactions. This whole time she was yelling at the TV, Brandon, don't call! Yelling at him if he was being too nice to Emily, and Emily, you're so stupid! It was so funny.
I was having a lot of emotions in this episode, but I'm also really excited to talk about it.
Me too.
I just kept getting distracted talking about other subjects.
Yeah, it's been a fun visit.
Yes, but now I'm ready to get rolling here.
Okay, let's hear the Back to the Peach Pit description, please.
Alrighty, let me pull it up.
So while she's doing that, today we're talking about Season 2, Episode 16, My Desperate Valentine.
Yes, which worried me immediately upon reading the title.
Understandable.
Yeah.
The writer today only wrote for this, and the next week's episode is all he ever wrote for 90210.
Oh, interesting.
Michael Swerdlick.
We're apologizing Swerdlick? If we are mispronouncing.
Swerdlick.
Swerdlick?
Swerdlick.
That's an interesting last name. I apologize if we're mispronouncing it.
I do too, but we're going to call it Swerdlick because...
Swerdlick.
Yep. So the only episodes of 90210 that he ever wrote was this week's and next week's.
Interesting. All right, well, here is the Back to the Peach Pit description of this episode. Emily has a hard time accepting her and Brandon's breakup, and everyone starts to notice just how deeply it's affecting her. Brenda wants to try doing something cultural with Dylan to mix up their usual date schedule, and they see if they can handle keeping their hands to themselves on a date.
And their mouths.
And their mouths. Yes, but
their hands and their mouths do not keep
the
themselves very well.
The polite way of saying it is keeping their hands to themselves.
I'm not polite. You should know this by now. Come on,
child.
But
we all know Brenda and Dylan.
Yeah, yeah. They're
it's not just hands.
Fiery.
A little bit.
So the episode opens up at school.
Okay.
And we see this very frumpy?
Frumpy.
We see this really frumpy dressed Emily. I like frumpily, thank you very much.
It's totally a word.
Totally, we're going to use it.
I love it.
Frumpily dressed Emily walking the halls. Like, every time we've seen her since she first came on at the beginning of the season.
I feel like she's been slowly, her costuming has slowly kind of been deteriorating almost.
Yeah, the costuming department, I think, did a really, really great job in this episode. Instead of being this put together, she's just... You know, kind of that grungy look, but the very put together grungy look.
Yeah.
Even last week.
Yeah.
That she's black top, she was very like, hey.
Yeah. She's normally, I've described her style in my head before as purposefully messy punk.
Yes.
Yes. She like her hair is intentionally messy and like her outfit is just the right kind of rips and like all of that kind of stuff. But this week she looked like
Frumpy.
She looked like she just threw on the first things that she found.
And even her hair, I swear her roots are showing through more this week than they have in weeks past.
It's probably intentional to show that she's stopped taking care of it.
Yeah. I just think they did a really good job with that.
I think so.
I was very impressed.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so frumpily dressed Emily is walking through the halls, and she walks up behind this guy that she thinks is Brandon. Now, I have to say, it was hilarious. Hannah's watching this, and she's like, that's not Brandon. You can tell that's not Brandon.
Now, it was too tall to be Brandon. Not
Jason Priestley.
It was too tall to be Brandon. I don't know how she got that close and didn't realize it's not Brandon the shorty.
Yeah, but she starts rubbing his shoulders like she thinks it's him.
And then he turns around.
Not Brandon.
And so she kind of, like, apologizes and backs away.
He's like, I can be Brandon if you want me to be. I was like, dude, you don't want to go down that path.
Yeah. See, she was also confused about the fact that it should have been Brandon because that was where his locker used to be.
But he moved his locker over by Andrea.
Which he comes up with several different excuses.
Later on we discuss the excuse a little bit. At this point, we just know that he moved his locker. And he and Andrea are talking about it, and I think that's the most truthful he was with Andrea about it.
I think so.
And that he basically is avoiding the confrontation. He just doesn't want to deal right now.
He feels like he's kind of already done the ending things, but it's that weird level of like, but we're still in the same friend group, we still go to the same school, how do we navigate this?
So then, as Andrea and Brandon are standing there, Steve walks up, and it's a hilarious, goofy little Steve moment. Then Donna and Kelly walk up. So we have Andrea, Donna, Kelly, Brandon, and Steve all standing there listening to David make an announcement about homecoming coming up.
Yes.
Before I sign off, remember, Beverly High may trounce West Beverly High at the annual homecoming game next week, but that doesn't mean we can't have the best clothes in the whole parade. So get out your chicken wire, your toilet paper, and we'll see you at halftime.
Do we really have to enter this contest?
Yes, it'll be fun.
You guys, I'm not exactly a member of the Cup Club either.
You know, I really think we have a chance of winning.
You think so?
Yeah. So can we have the lumber delivered to your
house? Whoa! Wait a minute. Hold on, Brandon. You're the only family in Beverly Hills that actually has tools in their tool shed.
I, Brenda and Dylan committed to this. Brandon.
Huh? Oh, yeah, actually, Brenda designed the float.
In that case, we'll be there. See ya.
So you can kind of hear, like they've done many times before, it going back and forth between hearing David up close and hearing him over the loudspeaker.
Yeah.
I think it's neat when they do that. It shows that the scene has changed spots, but yeah, we're still listening to the same thing.
Right. Plus it kind of brings David to a more personal connection. Mm-hmm. He's not just the disembodied voice of David.
Disembodied voice of David.
Yes.
Okay. So, and then partway through, you can hear Brandon kind of fade out and not listen to what they're saying because Emily walks by and goes up to the stairs and he's just kind of distracted. Like, you can see he feels bad.
Yeah. Because now she's kind of, because up until that point, her entire friend group coming to this new school was Brandon's friend group. And so now he kind of has that. Because he's such a nice guy. He's now feeling bad because now he's like, well, now she doesn't really have any friends.
Yeah, and he's feeling guilty when he shouldn't, but he is.
Because it's Brandon.
And so then we have Andrea, who's never been a member of the pep squad, never been into school spirit, but was really excited about the float.
Yeah, I think because it's crafty and because she's a part of something now.
Yeah, she's a part of the group.
Yeah.
Dawn is super excited about it since she and David have started hanging out more.
Yes.
But, you know, she's very clear to emphasize on a regular basis, we're just friends.
Just friends. For now.
For now, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's really excited because she's got the school spirit enthusiasm of David.
Yes.
Kelly's like, oh, do we really have to do this? are Dylan and Brenda really into this? And soon as they said, well, Brenda designed it. Okay, I'm in.
Okay. She's I love that. I love that it's like, it's clear that it's like, the twins are kind of the anchor of the group.
Yes. I thought it was so cute when they're like, he was like, we have to do it at your place. You're the only place in Beverly Hills that actually has tools in their tool shed. I'm laughing so hard.
Yeah, the other tool sheds probably have things like she sheds and, you know.
Or they don't even have a tool
shed. Or they don't even have a tool shed.
Or if they do, it's like the gardener uses it.
Yeah. And so
they don't
know
what's in it.
There's tools there, but
they don't know. It's probably padlocked by the gardeners. Like, don't touch my tools.
Or they have like a pool house.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Most people in Beverly Hills.
The Walshes, they have tools.
They have actual tools.
And they know how to use them.
Yes.
They sure do. So then we see at the paper, apparently they've gotten 7 phantom pen pal letters in the last 2 weeks. Okay. Each a bit crazier sounding than the one before.
And I think they read one of them out loud, or at least part of it at this moment. One of the other nameless members of
He has a name. They actually use his name quite a bit in this one.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember what it was, though. I feel bad. Because I think that, if memory serves, if that's the same character, I think over the next year, into halfway through next season, he becomes kind of a big deal.
A big deal, or at least a side character.
Yeah, he becomes
not just an extra, but a side character.
Yeah. I can't remember, unless it's somebody else I'm thinking of.
Either
it's possible.
He's, like, excited about these letters. Because
he wants to give them their own column.
But Andre is like, no, we're not a gossip paper.
No.
We're not putting this nonsense out here. And it's, like, it's weird, like, almost poetry kind of stuff, talking about the princesses of Beverly Hills
and
their cars.
Yeah, wouldn't be awful if your BMWs got slashed and, like,
that's crazy.
That's kind of psychotic.
That immediately kind of creeped me out. I'm like, why? I just didn't understand.
So one thing I thought was really interesting that they laid little nuggets out ahead of time in this episode, they made sure to clearly say that these letters have been coming for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
So then in the newspaper office there, Emily goes over and asks Brandon why he moved his locker. He looks like he's about to tell her the truth.
But then he chickens out, and he ends up telling her that it's because it's closer to the paper.
Yep.
And he spends so much time there, it's just easier.
And then he leaves the paper. He just leaves the room.
Yeah, he just pieces out.
Yep. But she chases him down in the hallway to ask him, what do you want to do tonight? You want to go out? And he's like, no.
No, I don't.
I don't want to go out, and I've got to study. And he's trying to make up excuses. And
he's kind of trying to kindly brush her off.
Yeah, he's trying to be nice. Being as polite as Brandon Walsh can be, and she's just not taking the hint.
No.
And she's like, well, I'll come over and we can study together. And he's like, we're not going to get much studying done that way. No. She's like, we just broke up 2 weeks ago. Why can't we move past that? And the event happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
She said this a couple times, and I'm like, you're laying a little trail of breadcrumbs for us.
Yes. I did kind of guess it right away. She made it fairly obvious.
They did.
I think.
They did. But
you don't really understand more until later.
Exactly.
It's just kind of these, like, weird, mysterious, disconnected pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the next time the scene changes here, we get to see there is a slight B storyline, but we're going to talk about it all at once because it's so slight. And then they merge together so heavily later on.
Yes.
We're just keeping it all at once.
Very suddenly, they all kind of merge together.
So at this point, though, the B storyline is Brenda and Dylan are just very heavily making out on the lawn chairs out in the yard.
Just out in the yard. And, oh my gosh, it's so funny,
these two.
Oh, I love that they've never lost that adorable little passion.
Nope, they still have it.
They're
still very fiery. But she stops him and she's like, stop. We need to do something more cultural.
Oh my goodness.
Dylan, time out.
Okay, coach. I'll sit the bench for a while. Timeout's over.
Come on. We're supposed to be studying history, not sex education.
Well, I'm sorry. It's just something about this Louisiana purchase, you know, it drives me wild.
Dylan, I'm serious. We should be doing more than this.
Nope, I think so too. What's Coach doing?
No! Look, I mean more than making out all the time. And not that I don't like it, because I do. I like it a lot. It's just that it's practically all we ever do anymore.
Oh, that's not true. I mean, last weekend we went to a movie.
Yeah, and we barely saw any of it.
Well, it's not my fault. I mean, I wasn't exactly kissing myself, you know.
Look, all I'm saying is we should make a little extra effort to do something interesting, cultural.
So we won't feel guilty when we're making out all the time.
Exactly.
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 Oh, yeah. She wants to make out all the time just as much as he does.
But she just wants to appease her guilt.
Yes. Because part of her feels like, are we really just horny teenagers?
Do we have something deeper here? Do we have an actual relationship?
Yeah. And I know she's not truly questioning it, but it's just that, like, that's all we do anymore. So they're going to do something cultural.
Cultural. So then we see Brandon studying. And he's sitting at the computer in his room. You can tell he actually is studying.
Yeah,
like
genuinely.
He told Emily he was going to be doing. The phone rings. He answers it.
And it's...
Click, click, click. Hang up.
Hang up.
Okay. Phone rings again. He answers it. Click, click, click. Hang up. And he's just...
Getting really frustrated. Understandable. Yeah. And they kind of imply that this isn't the first two times this is happening.
Uh-uh. They kind of make it feel like this has been happening regularly lately. Getting more and more regular.
Yeah.
And it rings again, and this time he, like, snaps on the phone. Hey, whoever this is, you better watch. I'm going to call a phone company. And flips out. And Steve's on the other end.
Steve's just like, all right, calm down. Jeez.
I think you need to get out of the house. He's like, no, man, I can't. I'm studying.
And Steve's like, I'm not listening to that. Get
it's
down here.
It's Friday night, and you're studying. That's wrong.
That's a crime.
That's a crime. Get down here.
Yeah.
And so he tells him to come down to the Peach Pit and come eat with me. I felt for Brandon at this point because you could tell he's just like, I told Emily I'd be home studying and I'd leave the house. Ugh.
Then he feels like Brandon's just too nice because he doesn't owe Emily any sort of explanation.
Nope. He has the right to leave his house and change his mind or go get food.
Yeah.
So he does end up going to the Peach Pit at least.
Yes. And of course, Nat is bugging him and Steve and kind of bothering them about like, hey, what are you doing here? And then, but he still comps their meals, which is cute.
Well, it was funny because at first Brandon's like, you know, can I have some hot sauce? And Nat's like, go get it yourself.
You know where it's at.
And Steve's like, hey, he's a paying customer. He is here as a customer. You get him hot sauce. And Nat's like, no, he's not.
He's not paying.
He's family.
Neither of you are paying.
And then what does Nat pull out of his pocket?
Hot sauce.
He knew that Brandon was going to want hot sauce. He had it with him already.
He already was handing it to him.
Yep. That was so cute.
Honestly, our waitress at this local diner just did that to me the other day.
That's cute.
I was there and I asked for like strawberry jelly because the little carrier thing didn't have it for my toast. And I was just like, can I have some strawberry jelly? And she just looks at me and goes, no. And then
I was
like,
hilarious.
Thank you. And she just went and got it and brought it right back.
That was really cute. Yeah, we were there together. It was really adorable.
Oh, yeah. She's super sweet. Yeah, so I understand that, like, that chill vibe. And
that's the kind of vibe Nat gives off.
Oh, yeah. And...
But he tells him, neither of you are paying. Were you kidding me?
And Steve's like, I should eat with you more often, Brandon. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Steve, you're rich.
Right? But... His mom doesn't exactly give him the best allowance all the time still.
That's true. And it is also still free food. No matter how rich you are, free food is still exciting.
Right? Especially as a teenager.
Right.
It's one less meal you have to go ask mom for money for.
Right.
So then Nat leaves the table. And as they're talking, Emily walks in. You'll hear what they're talking about in this clip. But there's that awkward moment, man.
Yeah.
When Emily comes in.
Listen. She's not getting the message. You just have to be firm. Spell it out to her. Adios, sayonara, au revoir, finito.
The United Nations approach.
Until it doesn't work, and then it's over, period.
Easy to say, hard to do.
Easy to do, look who just walked in.
Oh, God, I told her I was studying.
Be firm.
Hey, what a coincidence. I thought you were committed to the books tonight.
Yeah, just taking a break.
Well, my parents are out of town for the weekend, and I'm here for dinner. Mind if I join you?
Well, why don't you take my seat? Gotta make a few phone calls.
Thanks, Steve.
Sure.
It's so weird. I was just thinking about you, and here you are.
Yep.
That's called kismet, you know? When two lovers are destined to be together forever and ever, and...
Look, Emily, I don't know how else to say this except just say it, so I hope you understand.
Brandon...
But I don't think we should see each other anymore.
Look, I know you're really mad about that drug thing, and I can't blame you.
No, I'm not mad.
Well, you should be. Because the stupidest thing I ever did in my life. And I am so incredibly sorry. I love you. You know that, don't you? You know that I'd never do anything to hurt you.
Yeah, I know, but I have to go with what I feel.
Then, please, why can't you find it in your heart to forgive me? Why can't you give me a second chance? Please, I'll do anything. Anything. Just give me a second chance.
I wish it was that simple, I really do. But that doesn't mean we can't be friends. Good friends.
Maybe if you just let me cool out for a couple of weeks, and you have time to think about it before you make a final decision.
Emily, it's all I have been thinking about for the last 2 weeks. And I'm really sorry, but it's just the way it's gotta be.
There's so much to break down in that clip.
Oh, yeah.
The first thing I want to mention, because I know there's some stuff you want to talk about, too.
Correct.
The first thing I want to mention, Steve is so funny.
Oh, my goodness.
So it starts off when they're talking about, before this clip even starts, Brennan has told Steve about the phone calls, the nonstop phone calls, and the hang-up phone call, hang-up phone call, hang-up. And it's Steve's talking about, you know, you got to just end it, finally, and when he gets up and tells Emily, oh, you can have my seat. And he does this like little like karate chop thing on the back of his neck, like, hack it off, end it, to Brandon behind Emily's back. I thought that was so funny.
Oh, yeah.
And then when he tells Emily, I have to make some phone calls. Just the look in his eye. He wasn't going to go make phone calls. He was taking his food elsewhere.
He was going to go eat at the counter and talk to Nat about what was happening at that table.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
100%.
But I just loved, he kind of just like left that little in there like, phone calls. It's like a reminder to Brandon, but don't be too nice.
Yes. But also, I don't think at this point Brandon knew. I don't think he knew who it was.
Oh, I think he did. I think he did.
No, he seems very much just like it was random. They were mostly talking about how Emily wouldn't catch the hint.
I think Brandon knew. He just didn't want to admit it.
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, he didn't even say that to Steve. I think Steve definitely figured it out.
Well, yeah, because as soon as when Steve called earlier, and Brandon snapped at him, and Steve's like, what, do you have a heavy breather? He's like, no, hang-ups. I think that it was like very quickly at that point, they were like, she's not getting the hint.
Yeah.
I think that they knew. It just was kind of that Brandon didn't want to accept it.
Brandon's got a lot of avoidance in this episode.
Yes.
He just doesn't want to deal with the conflict.
No.
Because most of the time, the girls that he ends up not continuing a relationship with, he's only been with for a matter of days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he's chasing skirts.
Ugh, that boy.
Ugh. But this has been a long-term thing, and he hasn't really had something like that since...
Since they were in Minnesota.
Since they were in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of got that, like, I don't want to...
He's matured a lot since then.
He has. And so it's trying to figure out, how am I as a person now going to handle this situation? And he doesn't really know. So he starts off with just trying to put it off.
Yeah. So I know you wanted to talk about
the
actress and the character choices.
Absolutely. Emily, as a character, I despise.
Yes.
But the actress playing Emily?
Christine Elise, I think is her name.
I think so.
If memory serves correct.
Yes. She's extremely talented.
Oh my word, yes.
Because in this scene, you can hear her voice, especially during parts of it. You can hear that she's pretty emotional, but yet her face is completely flat.
Like,
zero emotion.
It reminds me of people who are over-medicated.
Yes. It's just that dead-eyed, glazed-over stare of just...
There's no smile. Her mouth doesn't, like, crack even an up or a down. It's just...
Wah, 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 like, wah, the wah. Most emotion that showed on her face was, I think, when she said, why can't you find it in your heart to forgive me? And that kind of... All of that little rant. She started kind of getting almost a little teary-eyed.
Yeah, but the rest of her face still had no expression.
Yeah.
At all.
It was as if you're talking to, like, a mannequin.
Yes.
That just kind of, you put some water in their eyes.
And you know what? That actually takes a lot of acting skills be able to do that.
Humans are very, naturally very expressive creatures.
Right? Especially if your voice is having to be so expressive. And she did a great job of her voice sounded expressive, but there was no visible expression.
And like, that was
impressive.
Absolutely. And that was actually what clued me in first to, obviously, I could tell she was having a hard time with the breakup at this point, and she was just a little off, But it was at that point that I realized, oh, there's something wrong with Emily.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with her.
Yep.
This girl needs help. And the actress did such a good job portraying that, that I just don't want any of my, like, distaste for Emily as a character to fall onto that actress.
No, because my distaste for Emily as a character actually is, like, complimentary to the actress.
Absolutely.
Because she did a great job of playing a difficult role. And exactly. She did it beautifully.
Very much so. And in this scene, it's just this kind of, I think everyone's been through at least one awkward breakup.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's just that awkward conversation you have to have when someone won't catch a hint. And
it's so awkward.
And Brandon is doing it in such a kind way.
He's almost too polite. He doesn't know how to break up with somebody.
No, he does. He has a hard time with it.
Yep.
And to such a point where he's such a nice guy, he walks her out to
yes, her Mr. motorcycle. Polite, oh my goodness, walks her to her motorcycle.
And then when they get to her motorcycle, her tires are, I'm going to put air quotes in there, slashed.
Yeah, basically somebody took a knife and cut a chunk.
Like, that, like Emily had to out. Look for it.
Yeah.
It was odd. It was in a weird spot that wasn't super obvious. The tire wasn't even fully flat. It was just like, she went over and she's like, oh no. And
again, no emotion.
Again, no emotion. And, oh, my tires got slashed. But then she starts getting emotional in an overdramatic way.
Yeah, like she falls into his arms and
I think she starts crying,
yeah.
And she's just so scared.
Yes.
And
what does Mr. Polite do?
Invites her to stay the night at the Walsh's.
So then we see Cindy setting up the portable bed in Brenda's room for Emily. Brenda's so not happy about this.
Neither am I.
Oh my goodness. Obviously, for a good reason, Brenda does not trust Emily.
Brenda is
very distrustful.
Extremely distrustful and
upset. I don't blame her. And of course, Cindy is like, super nice mom. Oh, we got a place for you. It's such a scary thing to happen.
Oh,
and
no
like,
worries.
Cindy, stop it.
But she doesn't understand.
She doesn't know.
All she understands is that out of the blue, seemingly one day, Brandon and Emily were tighter than ever. And then the next, he was breaking up with her and
yep.
not hardly speaking to her.
So
I can understand where she might be confused.
Yeah.
And just trying to be kind to somebody she knows is still new around here.
Yes. And this is when Brandon and Brenda have one of their typical twin heart-to-heart talks, but this time they're in Brandon's room because Emily's in Brenda's room still.
Yes, it's the Walsh twin powwow.
Yes, the Walsh twin powwow is starting, and at this one, he tells Brenda that the only people that know that Emily's the one who drugged him is Emily and Brandon, obviously, and Dylan and Brenda.
Nobody else knows.
Everyone else just knows that somebody slipped him. Like, yes. They think it's just some random person.
Right.
They don't know it was Emily.
I think Brenda was even shocked by this. Because I think at this point, she probably figured it was a we're not going to talk about it kind of thing. But I think she would have assumed that he would have at least told Steve.
Yeah, no.
Maybe even Andrea.
Nobody else knows. So yeah, so Brenda definitely seems pretty surprised that he hasn't told anyone else.
Yeah, but also, she's not going to go and tell that.
Mm-mm.
She's a good sister. She's not going to go tell Brandon secrets.
So that night, we see, oh goodness sakes, Brandon in his bed.
They kind of pan over this jersey hanging over the edge of his bed.
Yep. And it's the Minnesota Twins. And
yes, it looks like a very well-cared-for jersey.
Yes, it does.
But then we pan over and we look into Brenda's room.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda's passed out. Emily's wide awake.
Wide awake, yes.
And she sort of quietly gets up,
mm-hmm.
sneaks through the bathroom, not only goes into Brandon's room, but climbs into bed with him.
Yep, starts kissing on him and
he's half conscious and he's a boy, so
he's going to kiss back at first. And he's like, as soon as he comes to consciousness, he stops her.
Yeah. And they have to have this uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
Emily, we're not doing this. You better go.
Brandon.
What do you want? You want to be with me tonight and have me break up with you tomorrow morning? Is that what you want?
If we make love right now, I promise you won't want to break up with me.
Emily, To make love, I have to be in love.
I'm so proud of Brandon.
That's a hard thing to have to say to someone's face, especially when he's a normal teenage boy in his bed with a pretty girl in his bed.
Yep. But he stood up and did what was right.
Yes, and he said...
Which was good.
And I love the way he phrased it, too. I have to be in love.
Yeah, I can't make love if I'm not in love.
And making it clear, I'm not in love with you.
Yeah.
And...
Of course, she does the whole same thing she's done this whole episode. Just remember, I love you. Remember, I love you. It's so creepy when she continually says that
all the time. It's a little bit odd. And I've known people like that, mm-hmm. where they have to remind you that they do care about you. So that when they suddenly start doing crazy things, you have to remember, I love you, that's why I'm doing this.
Your high school boyfriend?
Yeah.
His psychoness level reminds me of Emily.
I honestly did feel a little bit uncomfortably familiar with where Brandon was at in this episode.
Because you also were excessively polite.
And
he was so good at, people like that are narcissists are so good at manipulation.
Yes.
And that's exactly what he was, and that's exactly what Emily is.
Exactly. And it just makes people like me and people like Brandon, who are just try their best to be kind to everybody, mm-hmm. that then when someone is like deceptively kind, it's hard to then turn that around and be firm.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to reach this point where I was able to stand up.
Yeah.
And stand firm. But so I understand how hard it is to face to face with somebody and have to say hard things like that.
I understand also a lot more Cindy and Jim's point of view,
mm-hmm.
because of what we went through.
Yeah.
That I didn't learn till after the fact. Some of the things that he was saying to you and how he was manipulating you.
And how it made me feel.
Same as how Emily, everybody thought she was just a wonderful person. And she was, she's got some problems, but she's a really nice girl. And why would you break up with her so mean? Why would you...
But behind the curtain, there's a lot more going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I really understood a lot more in this episode when I started pulling back and thinking of it from that perspective. Yeah.
You know what? I think this is probably a good place to take a break.
I think so, too. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Be right back. All right, we are back from break.
We're back.
Okay, so we've had our more intense conversation, and guess what? It's going to get more intense even now.
Hey!
So one thing I have to say, in the same context of what we were just discussing before break, there were a few times when your high school boyfriend was in town for different things and different reasons, mm-hmm. that he would crash on our couch.
Yeah.
I was always terrified of this exact thing happening.
But luckily, he was always too afraid of you to do anything close to what happens here with Brandon and Emily.
Oh, good. I worked really hard to make sure that your boyfriends were always terrified of me.
Yeah.
That was a life goal.
Yeah. I think you still scare Tyler sometimes.
Okay, I love your husband. He should not be scared of me.
It's Tyler.
He's so sweet. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Of all of the boys who ever caught your interest in any manner, shape, or form.
I will admit, I was most definitely the kind of girl that fell for just about any boy that I was vaguely friends with.
Hannah, darling. Yes, I have my hand on your back right now.
Yeah.
Awkwardly.
Uh-huh.
You know how so many times you've thought that you're a Brenda or you're a... No, honey, you're not a Brenda. You're not a Donna. You're Brandon Walsh. Think of his skirt chasing. Think of you and every I'm cute Brandon. Boy.
I am Brandon.
Yep, you were way too polite to end things with people, and you always pick the needy friends who...
Oh no, I'm Brandon.
Think of your breakup with this high school dude.
Yeah.
Fire and explosion. I had to take your phone from you, and what did he do? He, like, mega texted you. Like, 155 texts in a row.
Knowing that I was at a music festival.
She was playing her saxophone in a music festival. And what does he do? He power texts you and starts threatening to kill himself. Because you ruined his life. And calling
me a B-word.
Yeah, and saying that it's all your fault that you ruined his life, and why would you? I was like, dude, you made your choices.
Oh, no.
Mama Bear took her phone. Mama Bear ripped him a new one. And then I called our youth pastor and said, hi, I'm sending you screenshots
of these texts
from this boy. Because he was in your youth group.
Yes.
I sent your youth pastor to go check on him at 11 p.m.
And he did.
He talked to him. He talked him down off the crazy wall. And he's still just equally as crazy as ever. But we no longer have any contact with him. Yeah. It's wonderful.
And you know what? It took until... Like, I understand how hard this is on Brandon.
Yep.
Because it took me, like, 2 years after we'd broken up before I could visually see him out and about in public. Still live in the same town.
I remember times we would go to Walmart and I'd be like...
I'd see him across
the way. He's over there, Hannah. We're leaving. We'll come back shopping later.
Yeah. Because genuinely, I would see him and have a panic attack.
Yeah.
But I... literally got to the point where I no longer felt that way anymore, and then suddenly Tyler.
Yep. Who you met, he was working at Walmart.
So, convenient.
Yeah.
But, so I understand that this is an extremely hard situation to navigate.
No, they weren't together as long as you and this other guy were.
No.
So thankfully. It's going to be a little easier on Brandon.
A little bit easier on Brandon.
But you can feel where he's coming from. You know...
I'm Brandon.
You can sympathize better at Brandon's character and why he had such a hard time with this and also why he snapped. I can sympathize with why his parents and his friends who didn't know what was going on for real because Brandon was trying to protect the stupid narcissist because he's too nice and the narcissist makes him feel like it's his fault.
Yeah.
So, all in all, this was a really odd episode for us to watch together.
It was interesting. So...
The next morning. Okay, coming back to the episode here. The next morning, they come out. Cindy is talking on the phone to Emily's mom.
Emily had previously said that her parents were out of town.
Well, apparently now she's saying, they came back early.
She very quickly takes the phone from Cindy and says, I'll talk to her. And then finishes, like, basically saying, like, yeah, okay, I'll be home soon. Okay,
yeah,
bye.
Didn't you get, and she says, didn't you get my message? And... I almost slashed my tires. And she's trying to get sympathy from her mom. You can tell she's not getting it.
And then she just kind of goes like, okay, I love you, bye.
Yeah.
And then she tells the Walshes, who were all kind of watching her on the phone.
Yep.
And she's like, they got back early.
Yep, and they were worried. I don't think they were ever gone to begin with.
I don't believe so either. I think that they were in town the whole time and wondered why she never came home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was odd.
Oh, but then we see everyone meeting out front.
To make the float. Oh my goodness. David, of course, is there video camera right in Steve's face. And Steve's like...
Do you always have to do that? Brandon's asking.
Yeah. And it was just like, well, I thought it was really cute that they made sure David said, well, I have to, otherwise...
We've been accused of cheating in the past.
Yeah, a lot of West Beverly floats have been accused of cheating and have been hired by professionals.
Which... sounds very Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to make sure to film them building it for proof.
Yes.
And so then they're like, all right, fine. Okay. Steve does
like put the drill right in the camera lens like he's about to drill the camera, which I thought was so funny.
And I think he even turns it on for a second, pointing it at David. And then Kelly's there and she's kind of in like the most casual outfit I've ever seen Kelly in.
And then Donna walks up.
She's in these like cute little overalls.
Adorable carpenter shorts overalls.
Oh my gosh.
Cute little Donna hat. And she just looks so adorable. And
they're like, wow, look at you. You look ready to work. And why don't you go do this?
They said carpentry. And so she wore her carpenter pants. And like, you can paint. She's like, I'm not getting paint on this. Oh, Donna, honey.
Donna.
She did not understand what coming to work meant.
No, she really didn't. But we love her.
She's super cute. We love her.
Oh, yeah.
And then Emily comes out of the house. And what is she wearing?
Brandon's prize twins jersey.
Yep.
I think first things first, Brenda immediately clocks her and kind of gives her, like, from a distance, this look of like, oh, this is not happening.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And she's kind of leaning over to Kelly. Emily walks straight up to Andrea.
Uh-huh.
And basically implies to Andrea that, oh, well, I spent the night here last night, and I was just too tired to go home. Well,
Brandon asked me to stay the night. She's, like, really laying it on thick.
Yeah.
Like, she and Brandon had this hot, passionate night together, and And he invited her over. And
oh my gosh.
I had to find something to wear.
And then Andrea is clearly very uncomfortable. And
visibly like, uncomfortable. Like,
I have to go. I think she just makes an excuse of something else she has to do for the float.
And she walks to the other side of the float just to get away.
And then Brandon kind of turns around and sees what's happening.
Ooh, yeah. This is the moment where...
Well, first he just kind of... He doesn't fully snap
yet. True. You're right. He doesn't snap yet. You're right.
He just kind of is like, you couldn't have found... There are 100 sweatshirts and t-shirts in this house.
Between mine and Brenda's, you could have picked anything. Why did you have to pick my favorite one?
My favorite jersey.
She's like, it makes me feel close to you.
And he doesn't really respond to that.
I think he's just trying to just... She'll get the point.
Keep the peace.
Keep the peace.
Fine.
He's a peacemaker.
He's just gonna...
That's what he does.
Fine. Whatever. Let it slide. And he's like, you better not get paint on it. She's like, a little club soda and it'll wash out.
And he says something about, you know, you just don't get it, do you? Or something. And she starts to almost take it off right there.
Yeah. And she's like, well, fine then. I'll just... And she just starts unbuttoning it.
And he stops like, what are you trying to do? And
what are you doing?
He's just, at this point, you can see he's frustratedly done with her, but he's stuck with her. So then we go to this date night with Brenda and Dylan.
They're watching classical music.
Yes, a live concert. And it's really beautifully done music.
It's like a string quartet, I think. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there. Dylan kind of reaches his hand over.
They're very into the music, but mm-hmm. It's very, as they say, it's romantic.
Yes.
It's a little too romantic of music.
And so they start making out right then and there in their chairs.
Yep. People behind them sitting there like, oh, I kind of wanted to watch the concert, but now I have kids making out in front of me.
Yes. I do think one of the people in the background kind of gave this face of like, oh, kids.
Yep.
Like, almost like amused. In a way.
They're lucky that that person was amused and not annoyed. Mm-hmm. Could have gone the other way. So the next day at school, we see Brenda telling the girls about this date that they went on. And they were trying this cultural thing and they just made out the whole time. And she felt really sorry for the people sitting behind them. And it was just cute just seeing this moment of Brenda just opening up to Dawn and Kelly and their friendship. Yeah. Showing those layers of their friendship.
Exactly. And I like that it was a good little bit of light relief from the rest of what's kind of going on
in this episode. We needed that in this episode. Oh my goodness.
We needed that little bit of reminder that this is a unified group.
Yeah.
Because this episode feels very disconnected in a lot of ways. All the characters just kind of in different ways or on different paths.
Yes.
So seeing them all together like this felt really good. Finding ways to
connect them. It was really nice.
Yeah.
So while we're still at school, Emily comes up and she apologized to Brandon. And again, just that deadpan face, no expression, just womp womp, like a robot.
Yeah.
And her apology to Brandon just seemed very insincere.
I'm so sorry. You have no idea how sorry I am.
Even her voice is starting to sound...
Emotionless.
Emotionless now, yeah.
And it's that... I've been there. I've been at that point of just depressed.
It's awful stage of depression to be at. It's
awful. To just be at that point where you just cannot bring yourself to feel anything. Mm-hmm. So it's just empty.
So they go into the newsroom and they learn that the Phantom Pen Pal sent another letter. But the same is even more disturbing. It's starting to turn violent.
Yeah.
And sounding not just, like burning the school down. And I'm like,
not just threatening people's cars, but now threatening the actual facility.
Yeah. It was getting a little crazy.
And
the one dude still wants to give this person their own column.
And Andrea's like, no, we're not going to give this kind of a person any attention.
No.
This is a threat. This is not okay.
Yep.
She's not quite at the point where she's ready to take it, like, to the school and be like, this is something threatening.
She should.
She really should.
I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? Yes, I did.
She really should. But I think in that same vein of, like, with Brandon being too nice, she almost kind of has that, like, I want to know who it is before I start reporting it.
Yeah. Andrea's a good helper.
Yeah.
So we're over at the Walsh's, and this is last week's teaser clip, when the ringing, hanging up, and then a dozen messages on the machine.
Yeah.
And Jim listens to them and makes the kids listen to them. It's just like, oh.
Emily's getting into too deep of detail. She's talking about, like, being close to Brandon and feeling the touch.
She's saying, it sounds like they actually didn't do that much.
Yeah, but I'm like... Yeah, no.
Because she talks later about how she wanted Brandon to be her first.
But I don't think they ever did.
They've never done anything yet. But
they've just kissed a lot.
In this machine, she's making it sound like they have.
And, of course, Jim listens to this.
And Jim's like, this person wanted us to hear this.
She wanted us
to hear this. She wanted your mom and I to hear this. I'm like
this is no long, this is not okay. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the kind of point where Jim is, like, realizing, you need to get rid of this girl.
This needs to be done for reals.
Yes, you cannot be nice about this anymore.
Yeah. So the next morning, Brenda comes in to see Bran, and she's like, hey, I guess the phone call's finally stopped. And no, he took the phone off the hook overnight. That's the only reason the phone call stopped.
Yeah.
Which, nowadays, here's something I have to explain. Modern tech versus old tech.
I mean, I understand the terminology.
But a lot of people don't.
That's true.
Granted, most of our listenership is my age, so they'll all get it. But in case there's any younger ones who happen to be listening this week.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Back in my day. Sorry, I had to tease you.
Love you too. Before cell phones, your phone actually was attached to your house. Sometimes it was wireless, but it was attached to your house. Mm-hmm. If you opened your, picked up your phone on the line, you heard a dial tone.
Yeah.
Until you hung it back up again, no one could call in. You just got a busy signal.
Basically, it would seem like to someone calling you as if you, like,
were on the phone
with somebody.
But your phone is just off the hook.
Yeah. It's the equivalent in modern day, if you want to, like, avoid a phone call, it's the equivalent to putting your phone on airplane mode.
Yeah.
To not get any calls.
Yeah.
Because airplane mode, then you're just like, nope, I can't. I could still do things on my phone, but I can't get any calls.
But see, you can't do things on the... I guess it's more like if you turn your cell phone completely off.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing anything. Your phone is now just a brick. It's just sitting there doing nothing.
Exactly.
If you turn your phone completely off, those calls are going immediately to voicemail.
Right.
They're not even going to ring.
Right. And so that's kind of what he does with the phone.
Yeah.
So that everyone can sleep.
Yes. Because Emily was calling and hanging up, calling and hanging up, calling and hanging up. And they show her once in a while, starting around this point, I think, at a payphone.
They show her, I think, once.
No, there was a couple times we saw her.
No, I only remember seeing her at the payphone
again
once.
Again later.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so we see her at the payphone, dropping quarters in, calling. As soon as somebody answers it, she hangs up. Drops more quarters in, calls. And I'm like,
busy. Oh my goodness. And they show her when it's the dial tone, mm-hmm, picking up the phone, and she just, like, hangs it up very, like, angrily.
She's mad.
Yeah.
She's all kinds of mad. So, let's
in
see.
In various different definitions of the word mad.
So, as Brandon and Brenda are getting ready for school, and she's telling him, like, you can't just leave the phone off the hook all the time.
You know, sometimes people are going to have to call us.
Yeah. I mean, you have to face this. You can't just ignore her for the rest of your life. And they're getting ready to leave, and there's a little gift on the porch.
A little box.
I believe this clip, I kind of deleted out the middle section because it's kind of boring of them walking and opening a door and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a little funky spot in the middle. It's like it's silent and comes back. Because it starts the conversation in their room,
and then
in his room, and then it continues out front on the porch.
Yes.
Obviously, the girl's kind of messed up.
Kinda? Give me a break. I mean, she's bothered in the extreme. The way she sounded on the answering machine last night, I wouldn't be surprised if she was a hardcore stoner.
Brenda, you don't know that about her. You don't know anything about her.
Yeah, well, neither do you. Have you been inside her house, Brendan? Have you met her parents? Do you know any of her friends from her old school?
What's this?
Oh, I don't know. It's been a little too early for Christmas. It has your name on it.
It's been cleaned and ironed.
Why? She washes, irons, and cooks. Homemade cake with a note. Sorry to you and your family, Emily.
Maybe I'm a little off on the fatal attraction theory, huh?
No, Brandon, we're dead on it and deep in it.
That's good.
Brandon, don't eat that. Look, this whole thing could be a dose of euphoria or worse. I repeat, you don't know who this girl is.
Oh, Brenda, you're so right.
Yeah. I think this is probably, to me, the most odd thing that Emily does through all of this.
Yeah, because
all
the other, a lot of odd things, but this one's
all the rest seem like typical, like, stereotypical crazy ex-girlfriend kind of moves.
Yeah. I can understand her, the shirt. She washed and ironed it and left it there with an apology note. Totally get that.
But the cake?
She baked him a cake.
Why a cake? You could have done cookies. Cookies would have been slightly more sensible, I think.
Yeah.
But a cake?
A cake. A big sheet cake.
A big sheet cake. Cake is for occasions. Cookies are a snack.
She baked him a cake.
She baked him a cake.
And at one point, he reaches his finger out and tries to, like, scoop up some of the frosting.
And Brenda's like, what are you doing?
You cannot eat that.
What if she laced it?
And you and I had a bit of a, not an argument, a discussion.
Yes.
About this earlier. I think that Brenda was right. The chances of that cake being laced with something, too much of a chance to risk it.
Yes. I absolutely agree that there was a good chance of that. But I think genuinely, I don't think it was laced. We obviously, there's no way for us to actually know. But I genuinely think that there wasn't. Because a cake, that there's a good chance that Brandon would have shared a cake with family, friends. Mm-hmm. I doubt she would have done that to everybody. Because then she would have revealed herself. But
when we saw her that night before, the crazy level that she was.
I mean, I could see where Brenda's coming from. Absolutely. And I definitely think, do not eat the cake, Brandon.
Oh, gosh, Brandon. Don't be dumb.
Don't eat the cake.
Don't be a dumb.
Don't eat the random crazy girl cake.
No.
But I think, genuinely in this moment, I don't think Emily laced the cake.
I don't trust people enough in this world. I think it's probably laced.
Especially because, we'll find out later. I mean, she's got a lot of regret for the situation.
Yeah.
So...
But I don't think the regret has come
yet.
Maybe
that's a question that the writers could ever answer if they happen to hear this.
Maybe.
Writers, if you happen to hear this, please let us know. We are curious. In your minds, as you wrote this, did Emily actually lace the cake with something?
I'm going to lean towards yes.
I'm going to lean towards no.
I'm leaning towards yes because later she has regret, but at this point I don't think she did. Fair enough. Still had the level of cray-cray that was, you know... She doesn't have regret until after the big crazy later on.
Yes.
Before that, she just keeps spiraling and spiraling and spiraling into this horrible crazy world.
That's true. But part of me is kind of curious. We'll never know, I suppose.
I do listen to the 90210 show podcast.
Oh. If they ever discuss this episode.
Charles Rosen, Karen Rosen, any of you guys, if y'all hear this.
Yeah.
Melanie. Any Let them know.
Please.
We want to know.
We're curious. Please. Did Emily lace the cake?
Silly things in this show. It's ridiculous. I just latch onto it. It's so ridiculous, but I gotta know.
I need to know. Did she actually do that? Was Brenda right? Or was it just a genuine good caution, but not actually
Was Emily genuinely trying to apologize? Or was she being extra psycho by leaving the cake? I'm leaning towards extra psycho.
Let's move on.
Moving on.
Before we Here get we too go. Deep on this bunny trail about cake.
Us? No.
Bunny trails? What are those? I've never seen one in my life.
I don't know what you're talking about. Back at the school now, and we're in the newspaper office, and Emily comes in, and it's just her and Andrea. Andrea is so sweet.
She's so nice. Because, again,
Andrea knows none of the crap that happened.
All she knows is that Brandon broke up with this girl. Part of her is a little happy about it, but part of her feels bad for Emily.
Well, she knows that Brandon broke up with her, but she also thinks that they actually had a night together afterwards. Like, maybe they aren't actually broken up.
That is true.
So, when you think about it from Andrea's perspective, she's going, you know what?
Maybe
they're back together again.
I should continue being nice to her.
I care about Brandon. He's my friend, so I'm going to continue being nice to her.
Yeah.
Emily comes in and she gives Andrea an old folding typewriter that her dad had given her. And
because I had forgotten this until this came up, but Emily's dad is a journalist.
Yes.
I completely forgot about that until this typewriter came up.
Yeah.
Just because she never talks about her parents.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
But so her dad's a journalist and gave her this cool typewriter,
she was like 10 or something.
Yeah. Which is really, really cool.
It is a really cute little folding typewriter.
I want to type on the typewriter.
Your birthday's coming up. Who knows? I'll see if I can find something like that. It's probably out of my budget.
It's fine. I don't actually need a typewriter. It would just sit and collect dust.
Yes, it would. But Emily tells her that she is quitting the paper. And she's just like, you know, everything's going on, Brandon. I just need some distance. And she's trying to get sympathy at this point.
But I feel like somebody should use this. Which, I think that part was genuine.
Yeah. I think that Andrea has a good point in a little bit about the typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that. But Andrea's being super nice. She invites Emily to come. They're doing a picture, a big unveiling of the float. And you helped work on it. You deserve to come and be part of the big picture.
And she's trying to do the, like, oh, no, you don't have to invite me. Kind of like the mood that you do when your friend offers to pay for your food at a restaurant.
She says this, like, as a pro, by the way.
I'm sorry, what? I've never done this in my life.
But Wait a second. How many pizzas do you still owe Pat from college?
I still owe Pat like 20-something pizzas.
At least.
I had this friend in the one year I went to college. I would skip my English class. I was not a good student, guys.
There's a reason she only went to one year of college?
Yes. But I would skip my English class and we would go and get pizza. But a lot of times I would forget my wallet. She didn't have money to get pizza.
She just didn't have money.
Or I would have my money technically with me. I would technically have money with me. But I would just be like, oh, but I gotta get this thing later. I would conveniently need to go to the bathroom. And that thing that you do when you're trying to, like, pretend you're refusing, but really you're like, I'm going to accept it the second time you offer.
Pat bought her so many pizzas.
Yeah.
That boy, you need to, like, send him a pizza gift card or something.
Next birthday. I'll send him a pizza gift card.
Do it.
She'd be like, this is for all of the pizza that you bought me.
Right? It's just like, go buy yourself 20 yes. pizzas.
So I know exactly what Emily's doing. She's not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's doing that thing where it's like, no, I don't need to go.
It's that false modest kind of attitude.
But then Andre offers a second time, like, no, really, you should be there.
You were
like,
there. Okay.
All right, I guess. But really, she's like, I was going to go the entire time.
Yeah. So we're at the Walsh's. The float looks so good.
It's so cool.
They did such a good job on it.
It's got this big, like, kind of like it looks like a fake newspaper clipping of West Beverly finally beats Beverly.
Probably a good 20 feet tall newspaper.
The date on it is like in 2010. Clearly even like lowering their own expectations for their school team. Just like, we're so not going to beat them until 2010. It's fine.
They did such a nice job on that float.
It's so good. It is.
It looks like it was professionally done.
It does. But proof on David's camera, it was not.
It was the kids.
It was the kids.
So David's setting a timer for the picture so that he can be in it too.
Right.
And as the countdown is happening on this, and he's counting down so everyone knows, and Emily is sneaking over. And just seconds before the picture's being taken, she starts kissing Brandon's neck.
Yeah, kissing on his neck. Which is, one, not something you do for a picture, and two, kind of gross.
Yeah, it's just inappropriate.
It's just
Brandon snaps!
This is the maddest I've ever seen Brandon. He fully snaps.
Made me so happy.
5, 4, 3. Damn it, Emily, enough! Don't touch me, don't call me, don't leave cakes on my doorstep, don't manipulate situations so you wind up in my bedroom, and don't lie to my friends about some night of passion that never happened, all right?
Brandon!
No, I'm sorry, I tried to do this the nice way, but you won't take a hint.
Meanwhile, while he's exploding at her, exactly what Emily wants to happen is kind of happening.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways. Most of the kids are just kind of doing this, like, I feel like this isn't the appropriate setting.
They're like kind of step back looking a little shocked, like, ooh, why are you being so harsh? Because they don't know any better. Brenda and Dylan are like, yep, good. But even Steve kind of has that, like, I think he's proud of his friend for being harsh, but at the same time, he doesn't understand why. Like,
I also feel like a lot of them are hearing about all of the things that Emily's been doing for the first time.
Yep.
Because Brandon's kept it so on the down low. Because
he didn't want everybody to
ostracize her.
Because she was new and he knows what that's like.
Exactly. So him saying, like, don't leave cakes on my doorstep. Don't manipulate situations so you end up in my bedroom. And don't lie to my friends and all of this stuff. And he starts talking about basically everything except for the drugging incident.
Yep.
All of these things that she's been doing.
And of course, what does she do?
Typical narcissist.
I'm sorry. I just love you. And
I love you. And he's basically saying, like, I cannot. We are broken up.
And then when she goes off, she says, you know, when I first moved here, I had my pick of guys. So many guys were flirting with me and camera pans over to Dylan and Brenda, and Brenda's just like, Dylan's like, oops, I was one of those.
Oops, that was me. Just,
I picked you because you were a nice guy. I thought I could trust you. And starts laying everything on him, like it's Brandon's fault that, you know, he's making her feel this way. And that, I'm like, girl.
And I don't remember exactly how the interaction ends, but essentially Emily storms off,
yep.
I think.
Yep, she leaves.
She leaves, and the group is kind of awkwardly in silence, not sure how to move forward after that. Because one,
yeah,
that's a lot to listen to, and two, that was Brandon exploding.
Brandon's like the nicest guy around. He's nice the guys chill exploding one. Is like, whoa, that just happened.
Huh.
So we see at dinner that night, Steve is like telling the Walsh Prince, just, I thought it was really good. They showed that Dylan and Brenda were not at dinner because they were
out on their date.
Out on the date, which we'll get to in a second here. But Steve is there.
He's just casually at dinner with the
Walshes.
He just
hangs out. He's like, yeah, I don't want to go home. Gonna eat Mrs. Walsh's food.
And like, neither of the Walsh parents seem like uncomfortable or awkward about this.
It's like Steve's just another one of their kids. No big deal.
At one point, the phone starts ringing again.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yes.
And Steve is like, Jim answer it?
Jim answers it once, I
think. And it's a hang up
again. And he's just like, frustrated.
Oh, he's a mad dad.
Jim is mad. And he sits down, and then as soon as he sits down, it goes off again. And Steve gets up to get it.
I'll get it.
And he answers it with this, like, over-dramatic New York accent. Welcome to Tony's Pizzeria! And
we've all done that when you're trying to play a joke on somebody or get them to not call you anymore. You pretend you're the pizza place they just called.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
I've done that before.
Literally, the phone stays on the line until he's done with his spiel.
And then it disconnects.
And so the person, like, was genuinely listening. Emily was genuinely listening to Steve ramble about a pizza place.
Yep. And then hangs up on him.
Yep. I wonder if she, like, for a second was thinking, did I actually dial the wrong number? There's no way I dialed the wrong number.
There's no way. But then the doorbell rings. The first time I watched this modern times, so I didn't remember all the little details from when I originally watched it. I had that feeling like, oh my gosh, is that Emily? Was she at a payphone like right outside their house practically or something? How did she get there so fast?
Whew.
It wasn't Emily.
No.
It's Andrea.
Because she opened up that typewriter.
Well, not just that. I think that there was something about, they got another letter.
She talks
about that in this. And the thing that she doesn't mention, that if you aren't familiar with old typewriters, probably doesn't click. She says that these letters were written on Emily's typewriter. There was probably some kind of a sticky key or the way the letters type, the type of font that they used. She could tell.
Andrea, what are you doing here? Shouldn't you be putting me paper to sleep?
To bed, Steve. To bed. Brandon, you know those bizarre letters we were getting at the paper?
Yeah.
Well, we got another one, and it's worse than the last.
So
I'm no Columbo, but all those letters were written on Emily's typewriter.
Let me look at that. West Beverly, heed my cry. Abusers of love deserve to die. Smug and secure in their well-mannered house. They won't have long. I'm as quiet as a mouse.
The poet on top of everything else.
Don't you see? She wanted me to discover these. These letters, that they're a cry for help.
Cry for help. A pretty obvious threat.
Guess what that phone call was?
Another hang-up.
Yep. So we see Dylan and Brenda are at another concert. This time it's just a violinist playing. And the camera keeps going back and forth between Brenda and Dylan being determined.
Brenda is entranced.
Well, she is. But before they got there, they were determined to get through it without making out the whole time.
Yes.
We're going to do this. We can do this. Dylan tries a couple times and reaches over. And then he gets entranced in the music too. Because it's very, very beautiful music.
It is. It's a very excellent violinist.
But then the camera keeps going back and forth between what's going on with Emily and the concert. And all the while, this music is playing in the background.
So what we see Emily up to as we bounce back and forth between the very intense violin music and what she's doing, she's walking up to the Walsh house, and she is holding a gas can. She looks at the float. She's clearly upset. This is the first time that we're seeing real emotions out of Emily for a while.
Yeah.
It kind of bounces back and forth to the violinist, and she's throwing cans of paint all over this beautiful float. She is, like, ripping things off and going between crying and angry and that same deadpan look again. She's tearing things off. She pours gas all over the entire float. We kind of bounce right back to Brenda, super entranced with the music for a while. Emily is just kind of looking around at the carnage that she's caused, looking at all of this destruction. She's completely destroyed all of this work that they have done. And, like, the entire newspaper thing is covered. She's covered in paint and probably gasoline as well. And she kind of slowly walks over to the edge of the float, kind of sits on the edge of it, and pulls a lighter out of her pocket and just kind of starts fiddling with it in her hand. Almost like she's contemplating whether or not to use it.
So as you can hear, while Hannah was talking, I put in that violin music underneath. That's the actual music from the show.
It conveys that very intense emotions that yes. she's feeling right now.
And what I really liked too about it, you can even a couple times, if you listen really carefully, you can hear the splatter of the paint and the pulling yeah. down of things while the violin music is going.
Yeah.
Oh, so intense.
But I think it also is a very good way to kind of touch on, like, remember where Brenda and Dylan are. Remember where they are. So then...
it's completely logical when they pull in the driveway at home. Because obviously, I don't think this is actually happening at the exact same time they're listening to the music.
I doubt it.
Because they get home and she's sitting on the edge there. And that's when we hear what we're about to hear is... well, first of all, before we play this clip, I love the difference of Dylan and Brenda. Other times in the past episodes, we've seen Dylan be the kind of therapist friend, helping his friends through troubled times, and he's there for them.
But in this situation, he knows something is off. I need to keep Brenda safe.
He's very worried about Brenda.
As Brenda gets out of the car first.
Yeah.
And kind of starts walking up to Emily like, Emily, what are you doing? What happened?
And he's like, stop. That thing's covered with gasoline. He's trying to pull her back. And
he sees that Emily has a lighter.
Yep. And he just looks, has this look on his face. And
of panic.
Oh my goodness. Luke Perry, such a great actor. Such a great Without actor. Words, he was able to convey so much of his worry for Brenda. And he wanted to protect her and take care of her.
Worry for Emily.
Yeah. And the whole situation. Because if this float caught on fire, it would probably catch the Walsh's house on fire. Because it's right in their driveway.
Yeah. So he kind of has that, like, I need to go and get someone, but I cannot leave Brenda here alone.
He couldn't. But Brenda's like, she's talking to me. I'm going to be there for her. And Brenda goes right into therapist friend mode, like peer therapist.
Which is normally, honestly, Brandon's kind of set. Normally, we're kind of used to Brenda being the one going off and Brandon being the therapist friend. But in this episode, it had to be Brenda.
And it reminded me a lot of that episode in season one when she was working at the call center with Andrea. Yes. That one episode she worked at the call center, she learned a lot about how to recognize those moments. And when people are at their darkest, she does recognize that.
Absolutely.
And helps pull them back in.
It is a skill, honestly.
It really is. And she's got it. It's impressive.
So she essentially tells Emily that one of Brandon's best qualities is his capacity to forgive, but mm-hmm. you have to give him the time.
Yeah.
And it does not mean it's going to go back to the same way it was before.
Nope.
But you still have friends here.
Yep.
You are not as alone as you think you are.
So she brings
Emily inside.
Emily into the house. And this clip, the first half of it, it's such an important thing to hear all of this and to hear the emotion in Emily's voice that she finally is truly letting go and admitting that she has an issue. She has a problem.
Mm-hmm. And this is when Steve and Andrea are still there.
Yes. Steve and Andrea are there. Jim and Cindy are there.
Everyone
is there in the kitchen except for Kelly. And they're all like...
And Donna.
And Donna. You're right. Kelly and Donna are not there. Otherwise, everyone's... And David. Otherwise, everyone's right there in the kitchen. Anyone else gonna come on?
No, that was everybody.
Mrs. Teasley's not there either. You want to mention her?
No.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else not there?
Nat.
Jackie's not there. Mel's not there.
Nat.
Nat's not there. Are you going to mention all them?
No.
I'm just giving you a hard time. So the beginning part of the clip, I cut out all the long pauses to try to
not have a
3-minute clip. And I cut it down to like...
Just
under 2 minutes? Yeah.
Yeah.
I cut a good minute off by doing that. The second half of the clip is after Brandon comes back and he and Brenda have another twin powwow in Brenda's room.
Yes.
Emily.
What's going on?
I'm sorry, Brandon. I'm sorry for everything. I'm sorry for the phone calls, for making up that story about my tires being slashed so I could spend the night with you, for those disgusting letters I didn't mean. Most of all, I'm sorry for slipping into euphoria. I don't expect you to ever want to forgive me or even talk to me again. I guess when I lost you, I went crazy. I thought I hated you. I thought I hated all of you. But the person I hate most of all right now is myself.
Emily, you need to get some help.
Has anything like this ever happened before? A year ago, we moved and I locked myself in my room for 3 days and played loud music and screamed. But moving to Beverly Hills was a whole new kind of pressure. This place is tough. You all made it easier. But gotta admit, I need some help. I really need some help. What did Emily's parents say when you dropped her off?
Well, they couldn't say enough. They wanted to talk to me, Mom, Dad. Her mom told me she's been seeing a psychiatrist on and off for years.
Brandon, what do you think is wrong with her?
I don't know. It's like she's incredibly lonely. And at the same time, she can't deal with the idea of being close to anyone. I don't know. I'm no shrink.
No, you're definitely not.
She told me what happened out there. What'd you say to get her to come down off the float?
I told her that she would always have two friends in Beverly Hills.
Of course, if Brandon was a shrink, he would have known about all of this mess a lot sooner.
Yeah.
So, a lot happened in that clip.
Yes.
Especially with Emily's final breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when everyone kind of finally finds out what happened that night with the euphoria.
The look on Jim and Cindy's faces.
They literally give each other that look of like,
they were completely shocked.
I wish
shocked.
We had a younger audience that would understand the meme I want to reference.
Reference it. Us old people know memes. Us less shocked young people know memes too.
Shocked Pikachu face.
I actually do know that one.
Shock Pikachu face.
Shock Pikachu. I know Shock
yes.
Pikachu.
They just
girl, you send me enough memes.
That's fair. I send you a lot of Shock Pikachu memes.
You really do. Jim and Cindy are Shock that, Pikachu.
Yes. And then Steve and Andre even share a look of like,
that makes a lot. And when you and I were watching it together, The thing I thought was so cute that you commented on is as soon as Steve makes his shocked face about when she admits that she's the one who slipped him the euphoria, you're like, oh, I bet he can't wait to get home and call Kelly.
Oh, yeah, I did. I said that immediately. I was like,
so cute.
Steve is going to be the one to immediately go home, call Kelly, and then probably Kelly is going to immediately call Donna.
Yes.
And then Donna will immediately call David because everyone needs to know about this now.
Obviously.
Obviously. I don't know if they would call down to David, but I think at least
Donna would.
Donna would, because she's been talking to David a lot.
Yeah.
So
they're cute.
Yeah. But I did say immediately, I was like, Steve cannot wait to go and tell Kelly about this. Because they have gotten to the point where they're friends now.
So everyone knows the truth.
Everyone knows the truth.
Everyone. Like, the true truth.
And I will say, I have a little bit of respect for Emily being able to admit that she does need help.
That's a hard thing to do.
It is really hard.
To admit, I need help. I really do. I need help.
I mean,
it's like, oh, honey. Yeah, you do.
I've been in various stages of depression at points in my life. And it is a hard point to reach to realize I need to fix things. I need help to fix things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's really hard to reach that point.
It
because
is.
You feel like people are going to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
When, in reality, everybody has their own individual struggles.
We all battle our own demons.
Everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
Some are more extreme than others, but everybody battles with it.
Yep.
So, it's just a matter of having that little bit of strength to say, yes, I need help.
And that, today, people, was your PSA lesson of the day.
Yes. Everyone deals with stuff. Just ask. Even if it's one
no
person.
There's no shame in asking for help.
Even if it's one person who you just say, hey, can you just check in with me and check and see if I ate today? You know?
Yeah.
It's a little bit. Baby steps are all you need.
So, Hannibal, what did you think of this episode? What did you rate it at?
I rated this one a 7.5.
Okay.
Because I did quite enjoy this one. In a different way than I normally would enjoy an episode.
Yeah.
Because, like I said before, I did feel a little bit of a connection to what was happening, as far as what was going on between Brandon and Emily. And also, it felt like we were building to this for a while. So yep. Now we finally had this kind of, like, culmination of what's going on with Emily and sort of the conclusion of her character, I am assuming. I don't know because
she comes in one more time this season and then other times. But
for the most part, this is kind of the end of where we're going to...
This storyline of Emily. Exactly. This plot that she's in, yeah.
Yeah. When she comes back later, I'm sure it's going to be different and it'll be occasional. But this is the last we're really going to see of a lot of Emily.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like we'd been building to this for at least a few episodes.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to see how they wrapped that all up. I feel like the last few weeks have been really heavy episodes.
Yes.
I mean, from Scott to the episode last time.
90210 is a drama.
It is. And I just,
lighter moments in it, but it's definitely embracing its drama
It does. Title. And I think that's a very smart move for them because many of these like teen drama shows don't lean heavy enough into the drama. Because being a teenager is really, really hard. And I think everyone tries to block out when they were a teenager, so they all forget.
Then there's me. I'm like, instead of blocking out when I was a teenager, let me go back and do a podcast about exactly what life was like when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
What the frickity frack, Rebecca?
But I mean, think about the majority of adults. The majority of adults, when you mention like, oh yeah, when I was a teenager, you get a shiver.
We all shudder.
Yes, because everyone struggled being a teenager. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be growing up and be in that part where you're a kid, but you start wanting to be treated like an adult, but you kind of aren't ready for that yet. And it's just an awkward time.
Yeah.
And so I think the show is starting to do a really good job of leaning into the fact that teenagers deal with some really hard stuff sometimes.
Yeah. One thing I think that a lot of teen dramas do too much, they lean too much into the romance aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
not realizing there's a lot of other stuff going on in their lives. The kissing is just part of it.
Yeah.
They have so much else going on that they need to work through, talk through, know that they're not alone, know that the other people are going through this too.
Absolutely. I mean, I had one singular boyfriend in the entire time I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And
he was kind of psycho.
Right. But then the rest of the time I was a teenager, there was a lot of other stuff that happened.
Yep.
I had friends who had a lot of struggles. I had a lot of struggles myself. I had a lot of experiences.
You helped save a friend who was threatening suicide. And I'm not talking about the boy. I'm talking about that one.
I did. I had a friend who was threatening to...
She ended up in the mental hospital because you helped her.
Right.
And she helped got therapeutic help. That was when
I was 16.
Yeah.
But that's not that uncommon of a thing, to be honest. Just not many people talk about it. So I love that this show isn't afraid to talk about the heavy stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. What about you, Mom? What did you think of this one?
Okay, so we all know how much Rebecca loves... I guess I just talked about myself in the third person again. We all know how much I love the building of the story, and I don't usually like those plateau moments.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I didn't feel like it was a plateau. I imagine this episode to be like when somebody who's climbing one of these really huge mountains and they get to the peak and it's just like, wow. It's not a plateau where they get to the peak of the mountain and it's just this impressive view.
Right.
And it's like, this is what you've been building to. This is what this climb was all about.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about this episode. Is that I felt like we're at the peak of this mountain looking out over the scene going, I get it now. I understand why the climb had to happen. And some of it was a struggle. The climb was kind of a struggle at times.
Oh, yeah.
But I really, really liked it. I loved the acting in this episode so much. The writing was brilliant. It showed actual, real, difficult moments that people go through that you're just like, what? Oh, yeah. That is what it was like. Like you were saying.
Exactly.
I think Christina Lise, I want to say is her name. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I think she did such an amazing job in her portrayal of Emily. Because when, like we talked about all throughout our podcast today, the moments where she needed to be, her voice sound like she had inflection, but her face was like, poof, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
She was such a fantastic actress. I'm sure she still is. I don't know what she's been in recently. I'll have to look that up someday.
Yeah.
Again, with the acting, Jason Priestley, he did such a great job of playing that. Like, I'm trying to be nice, but suddenly needing to explode, but also wanting to be nice. And it's like the back and the forth. So much about this was just so wonderful. I actually gave it an 8.5.
Nice.
I thought it was nice. Such a really good episode and so well done. And again, the drama. I love that they leaned heavily into the drama in such a good way. It wasn't just drama for drama's sake. It was drama that was very real of teenagers and the life and the things they go through.
Yeah, I think that's becoming one of my favorite things about this show.
Yeah.
Is it's not a word you often use for things, but it's very raw.
Yeah.
They deal with those emotions that a lot of teen dramas kind of skirt around the edge of.
They don't want to go in those dark moments. Like, no, go dark. That's what teenagers have to deal with.
This character is depressed, and it's like a kid laying in bed covered in a blanket. And I'm like, that's...
That's not depression.
That's not all depression.
That's I'm feeling sad today. But true day-in, day-out depression, you have to get out of bed. You still have to function.
Exactly. And sometimes...
And what is life like outside there? Emily's a great example.
Exactly. And so I think that that's... It seems to be that one thing that we keep going back to, that like they really lean heavily into that drama in the right way and bring this really raw emotion to these characters.
I agree.
And that's a credit to both the writers and the actors, honestly. Yep.
And the directors. They did such a good job of directing these kind of moments because it was just such a great combination of everything.
Even getting the right camera angles and lighting and stuff can have a big effect on that kind of thing. This show is just, it's very well crafted.
I agree. Well, Miss Hannibal, next week we get to watch and discuss Chucky's Back. Would you like a teaser for that one?
Sure, I'll take a teaser.
Big, 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 big dance Friday night. You going?
Nope.
Why not?
No date.
And a date optional. That's a lame excuse.
Okay. No date and I don't dance.
It's just called a dance. You don't actually have to dance.
Steve, let me put this in very simple terms. I don't waltz, I don't rumba, I don't foxtrot, I don't boogie, I don't dance. I don't even like being in the same room with people who are dancing.
Yeah, well, I was actually thinking of breaking down and asking Kelly to dance. I think she deserves another chance.
You're giving her another chance. Isn't she the one who broke up with you?
Yeah, but I forgive her.
Oh, Steve.
He forgives her.
For breaking up with him. Oh, that's going to be
interesting.
It's going to
be an interesting episode.
Oh, and once again, Brandon doesn't dance.
Brandon doesn't dance.
Brandon does not dance.
So in the same vein as, you know, hey, writers, was the cake actually poisoned? If anybody who knows Jason Priestley in real life is listening, can Jason Priestley dance? Is this a character thing or just an actor thing?
Is it an actor thing that became a character thing or was it a character thing alone?
And he just acted it really well.
I'm just curious
because this is such a... He's getting so deep in this Brandon doesn't dance.
Brandon can't dance. Brandon can't dance. Brandon cannot dance.
We'll see you guys next time right here on...
Back to the Peach Pit.
Thanks to Pixabay.com for their royalty-free music where we found our theme song by the Caffeine Creek Band.